Dublin's South End.
Again, and welcome all to another episode of BitNote. We'll be talking about video games and playing the music from those games. I hope you have a good time and enjoy yourself. Hey again, and welcome to another episode of BitNote. Today I'll be playing a bit of tune from a game. I actually thought I'd played this music on the show before, but I don't seem to have. So on the off chance that I completely screwed up and it is in the archives, please forgive me, or at least as much you can forgive someone for playing the same tune on the show twice. It's a nice track. It's a little longer than I thought, but you know my policy on, well, you probably don't, but my policy on playing the whole track, and it's from a game that I have a lot of happiness towards. So, without further ado, here is a track from a game that involves treasures in some way, so if you know that's your hint, but in another sense it's just a fun game. So, have a listen.
We'll be right back.
That was, my friend, the theme for International Karate Plus, also known as IK Plus. It was developed by System 3, and the game is basically a karate game. It's a fun, very, very fun game, and it was originally released in the late 80s, more precisely, and also has, like a lot of games, got ported to a lot of different platforms, like the Atari, Amstrad, and of course the Amiga. That music I just played was the Amiga version. It was composed by Rob Hubbard, who has made a lot of classic tracks, and it was arranged on the Amiga by David Lau. So, what is so fun about IK Plus? Well, what is not fun about it? It's set up in a pretty simple scenario. It's basically, you know, standard 2D stuff, the sort of stuff you get with the Amiga. And you've got a nice, bright, colourful background, which includes this kind of like arch and a sea and the setting sun and everything. And you've got, in the foreground, you've got three karate fighters. So, basically, you control one, and if you've got a second controller, then someone else plays the second one. And then there's the third one. And it's just a free-for-all. You have to, it doesn't matter, there's no teams, no nothing. Just three karate fighters beating the heck out of each other. And it's not violent, don't worry, it's all very kiddie thing. When you knock someone out, little stars go around their head, and it's all so many different moves you can play. And sometimes you decide with your friend to team up on the AI opponent, or maybe you just go on yourself and just play against it. And basically you have to fight until you get 6 points by knocking them out six times, and then you go on to the next level, which gets trickier and trickier. And the more levels you go along, the color of your belt keeps going around to black belt. I never figured out exactly what the color system for it was, but I never quite managed to get to a black belt, but there we go. So essentially it was developed by as I said, System 3, but specifically by Archer MacLean, because back then, you could have a game that was sold in shops that was entirely developed by one programmer. And it was a sequel to International Karate, which I've never played and not really have an intention to. But, I mean, what made the game, I think, is there were just so many different details to it. I mean, part of it wasn't so much just having fun and jumping around, but it was also just how the developer put so much little fun stuff in the game. For instance, the background was animated. You might see spiders drop down, or suddenly a U-boat periscope pop from the sea, or even Pac-Man just do a quick trip by it. The background was full of little animations, so sometimes it's kind of frustrating that you were fighting, but you wanted to see what was going on, which made it even better if, your friends were playing and you were just watching, because you could look at all this fun stuff that was happening. The actual mechanics of the fighting were a lot of fun, too. You could just jump. You could, even though you had one button and one, joystick thing, so you wouldn't think, you could do all sorts of fightings. Everything from, doing a sweep with your legs, to jumping and doing a kick at the same time, to doing a high kick or a medium kick, all sorts of stuff. It reminds me a little of Comic Zone in the fact that, with the limited things, you could do a wide range of attacks and defenses even. And what got it even better is that they had different, a lot of the fights could have different attacks. I mean, for instance, one of the fun things is that there was one specific attack you could do where you went down on one knee, almost like you're genuflecting, shot out a punch. And if you did that and you landed a punch on the opponent, then while they were standing, normally the punch would land right in their groin area. So, I mean, this is kind of immature, but basically the animation for them falling down with them being landing on the ground, sitting up straight with their hand over their tender area, which you've just punched. It's, I know, we were kids at the time and it was just really fun. But the idea that you could do a groin punch at that time and have the player react appropriately was actually sort of a fun thing. And I believe that it's something that was very, generally they didn't do that much in games, though I do believe that there are a couple of games that do have nut shots, even to this day. Saints Row 2 and I believe the recent Sniper Elite. But the point was, it was all a lot of fun. And you could do actual somersaults in the game, while it was with other fighting games, you'd be beaten up against the side of the screen and you would try to escape, but they'd keep punching you. In this game, you could do these nice little somersaults, and while you did it, you were more or less invulnerable, or at least it was very hard to hit you. So sometimes if I was losing, I'd just end up doing somersaults from one side of the screen to the other, constantly doing, I think they're called cartwheels, backflips, and you had the hand and everything. So I'd just keep doing somersaults from one side of the screen to the other, back and forth, and they wouldn't touch me. I ended up reading an interview by the developer of that game, which said that essentially a lot of the animation in the game is rotoscoped. Now, rotoscope is when you take video footage of something and then kind of draw over it. A lot of classic Disney animation do it. Then Ralph Bakshi, who was like a very underground animator, especially in the 70s, did a lot of that. And it was even done in video games like Flashback in Another World. You get a very nice realistic thing going from it. But in order for it to work, you actually need to have video footage of people who are actually performing the moves. And karate moves are something that normal people I can't do. So essentially he was looking through, he wanted to do that somersault move, he wanted to animate it, but he kept going through all these different resources by resources, I mean watching a whole lot of karate movies, trying to find this perfect side-on angle of someone doing a somersault. And he couldn't find anything. So he was depressed and trying to find it and gave up. And then one night he's sitting down with his companion and they were watching Grease, as in, you know, Grease is the word. And suddenly he saw in the background of one of their music, you know, dance routines, someone was doing a backflip. Perfect. So that is how, he put it forward one step at a time, traced over it, and that is why an acrobatic move that was performed in a 70s musical now appears in an 80s video game in a disguised form, and obviously not giving any rights, but there you go. Also, it's not just about finding things. One of the great things is there were a lot of little secrets hidden in the game or fun things. So part of the gameplay wasn't just trying to beat the game, but trying to find all the fun things you could do. For instance, typing the S key would turn on and off in the shadows. And you'd even get hints about which keys to press if you looked at the credits. Because what had happened is, you know the way in classic things you have three letters would initial the high score? Sometimes the default high score tables would have all these letters where if you read them down, you could find out all these messages from the developer, which is pretty fun. And not only could S turn on off shadows, the noted letter key T. If you press this key, everyone who is standing still, their trousers would fall down. I am not kidding you. This is pretty much the only game I can think of where making your opponent's trousers fall down is a gameplay mechanic, because if you did this at the right time, it would take a second for them to actually pull their trousers back up again, and you could get a free hit. Now, this was a tricky move to pull off, not because the game made it complicated, but because pretty much everyone was on a joystick, you know, with one hand on the joystick, one hand on the button. So in order to hit the T key to be strategic, you had to take one hand off one of the buttons, move forward, hit the key, then make sure you were still moving while you were hitting it, then get back and take your free shot. So it's very, very, it was a fun little challenge. And half the time you just do it for messing. Or if you're watching your friends play, you just keep hitting the T key repeatedly and just laugh at all the how you're disrupting everyone's game. But that was just it. It was a fun thing. It was a fun mechanic. And people found their own ways of putting it into the game itself. Okay. I think that I'm going to... just to review, that was the IK Plus theme, or International Karate Plus theme, by Ron Hubbard, with the Amiga version arranged by David Lowe, from IK Plus by System 3. Now, I think I'll move on to the next track, or the next game, so to speak, and I'll just start it up. This has got a very rich and vibrant soundtrack, so have a listen. Okay, this is from a game that was from a game that I have a lot of good feelings towards. It is from The Journey Down, Chapter 1, and the music you just heard was Outside Makita's Kitchen, and it was composed by Simon D'Souza, who is a British composer. And as I said, it was developed by The Journey Down, it was from The Journey Down, Chapter 1 by Sky Goblin. All right, so The Journey Down is an indie game. It was released fairly recently, in the last year or so. And it's basically a point-and-click adventure game in the mold of classic games of the early 90s. You've got your characters, you click around, you interact with items, you pick up items, and you find other places to go with it. What I like about it is that it just removes a lot of the cruft and is just a fun game. You're basically this guy called Buana, and basically you and your brother own this charter flight shop. The problem is the plane that you use to charter out flights is actually completely broken down, but you don't seem to worry about that much until a girl called Lina comes around and says, you know, she needs to charter flights and it's an emergency. You wouldn't think this would be a huge problem, but it turns out that there's some gigantic conspiracy involving evil people who want a book that she's carrying, and this obviously brings on a fair bit of conflict. Surprisingly, though, most of the game isn't actually about dealing with these guys and preventing conflict. It's more about actually trying to make the plane work properly so that you can actually provide your primary task of being able to fly her to her destination. And that's where the game begins. Now, it's got a very nice style to it, and that's with fun characters and a very nice, vibrant world. You start the game across on this harbour area because you're playing as a seaplane, but as you look across the city, it looks bright and colourful neo thing, but everything's, you know, got a nice style to it, and you go through a lot of kind of more shoddy areas as well. One of the nice things about the aesthetic is that it's inspired a lot by African masks. So the character design is basically all these characters with things that look like, you know, African, with masks that are found in Africa. And this is actually a very good opportunity to go for, as a lot of people have noticed, because Africa is completely underused. I'm going to say this. You may know that I helped out on a show called Our Africa here on Dublin South FM. It was dealing with a lot of African culture issues and people and a lot of Africans and their experiences in Ireland. And it's a great show, and you learn a lot about it. And you think about it, I mean, Africa's a freaking continent. There's countless think of the amount of like cultures in or cultures or subcultures in like even Ireland or whatever country you're living in, and think about it that Africa not just has several countries, it has several tribes. I mean, the breakdown is amazing. There's just it's an entire continent with a vast diversity of people and cultures and humans and beliefs and history and everything. I mean, you know, you've got it pretty much all. It's like a large fraction of the whole world's it's a large fraction of the world's population, the world's stories, and the world's experience. And yet, especially in Western media, it barely gets portrayed at all. I mean, the odd movie like Tootsie gets resurrected. And so it was kind of interesting for the game to take inspiration from Africa. But I think, and I mean, I saw a review that kind of helped me realize this point. It really does underuse Africa. I mean, it seems to take a few aesthetic aspects and go with it. And for instance, all the characters actually have Caribbean accents. The music has a bit of reggae inspiration. So, I mean, you know, it's not a big deal. It's they're making their own aesthetic, but it's, I think that if you're going to go for Africa, there's a lot more you can if you're willing to learn about it. But that's all. I'm going to leave that criticism right now because I think it's important to say that the game is actually very, very good. It's, you know, you go around the puzzles. There's some nice humorous dialogue. The visuals are good on the eyes. And there's a nice sense of fluidity about the game. I mean, there's a lot of games out there where it just feels you're struggling through it or there's constant loading screens or everything. But this game flows very well. You move around quickly. You've got nice music backing you. And there's like even one sequence where you get from one point to the other and a video plays, but the video starts instantly, ends instantly with the area, and while it's a very long sequence the first time, it's short the second time, so it really feels very tuned to giving you a good experience of navigating the area, talking to people, and trying to solve the puzzles. The puzzles themselves are pretty good. There was only one time I try not to look for walkthroughs with puzzles, but, you know, I fell down at one point and then slapped my head and said, of course, why didn't I think of that? So, before I get any further, I think I'll play a nice bit of tune from this game, which I really like. And that was Charter Attic Music. It was also by Simon D'Souza from The Journey Down, Chapter 1 by Sky Goblin. The music in this is varied, atmospheric, and got a bit of a cinematic flair in places, and other places a bit reggae. There's a theme that tends to appear a lot, and it works very well because the game is a little dark, but it's also very lighthearted because the main character, Buena, is very optimistic to the point of not quite seeing things that are in front of him, but at the same time enables him to do things that other people wouldn't even try doing because he just manages to get into so much trouble, but also manages to push through it until he manages to not get too caught up in it. There's a lot of fun jokes and a lot of great stuff doing. It's kind of funny how this Simon actually worked on this track. He posted some music on Freesound, and which the developers were using, and when they asked him permission, he asked to check out their game. When he checked it out, he was really interested in making music for it. So it just shows it was great because he made a lot of good music for the game. He's a professional musician who's been working for over decades and made a lot of theatre, TV, and now with this game he's made game music. Games were always something he was interested in, and with this it's just he did something, made a soundtrack to a great game. It's chapter one, so it's episodic. Hopefully we'll get... It's kind of short, but, you know, we're hopefully the second one will be around soon enough. And it's popular, so I'll be looking forward to it when it comes out. So I'll leave you... I'll leave you with another bit of music from the game. It's called Tram Station, and I'll leave it at that. So, this has been David Collins with BitNote. Thank you for listening.